Researchers at the University of Minnesota's College of Science and Engineering have developed a new non-invasive system that allows people to control a flying robot using only their mind. And we are so happy to have the lead researcher in this study with us here tonight, Dr. Bin He, a biomedical engineering professor at the University of Minnesota's College of Science and Engineering. And he's joining us here right now in the Roadhouse. Dr. He, welcome.
Hi, how are you? Great. Good afternoon.
Great to have you on the program. First of all, I'd like to ask you, how did you get involved with a study like this? And also, how does something like this evolve? Somebody's idea, how do you get funding? How do you convince people to do it, et cetera?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have spent my whole life to work on the brain wave, and particularly this non-invasive brain wave and its clinical applications. So after studying all these brain wave and have seen the people being disabled, and it has come to my mind that really, and that is important research. So we started about 10 years ago in my laboratory to develop technology that can translate a brain wave to pick up the thought of their subject and control various computer or device. So that's how whole thing to start up.
Now, as I understand it, you've been successful, or at least folks have been successful, with implanting chips into people's brains and to do this in prior studies, but yours is the first study that is non-invasive. You don't have to. You can put this skull cap on somebody and they can translate those brain waves.
Well, I want to clarify that, first of all, that
sure.
Certainly there were a lot of and a very successful study using implanted chip. And my study is not the first to use non-invasive brainwave, but it is the first study which we demonstrate in a very demanding, complicated task, which is equivalent to invasive brain-computer interface study. So there are many people tried before, but in our recent work, which was just published a couple of days ago, we were able to develop a whole approach in demonstrating that human subject using non-invasive brain wave alone can really control the flight of a model helicopter in a three-dimensional space, and left, right, up, down, and find a target and go through the ring without even hitting the edge of the ring, and so on. So it's a very complex task and associated with this study. In that sense, it's a first demonstration and using non-invasive and the brainwave alone.
So in your study, maybe you could, in steps, tell people just how this works in the laboratory. How does this
of course.
Work for
so
folks?
In the experiment we did is we put a cap consisting of a lot of buttons, which is the electrosensor, and over the scalp of the subject, and connect that to a analog to digital converter and a laptop. So we train the subject in using motor imagination. In other words, we ask them to sit there still, not to move, but to think movement a part of their body. For example, if they want to turn the model helicopter to the left, then they think imagining the movement of the left hand. If they want to turn right, and then they're imagining moving the right hand. And when the subject initiated such kind of intention, we recorded the brain wave non-invasively and then do all these advanced signal processing to decode and extract the signal associated with the intention. And then we turn that intention signal into control signal sent by Wi-Fi network to the model helicopter to control the actual flight of the model helicopter.
Now, I saw a YouTube video of this process, and I thought it was just amazing how smoothly those folks could control that helicopter. I think I would have crashed that thing a few times.
Well, in the beginning, actually, certain as what we wrote somewhere, that actually this specific study started 3 years ago, and it has been going for quite a long time. in the beginning, actually, there were quite a bit of crash of the mother helicopter.
Now, you kind of describe.
So what you saw is a state of the art. It's not our beginning.
You mentioned that you put on this little helmet. It's got, I think it's 64 sensors on electrodes that pick up those brain signals. You know, what if I spotted some pretty researcher across the aisle? My mind might want to wander somewhere, and that thing would crash. You really have to concentrate?
Well, this is a very good scientific good question. In most cases, you do need to concentrate in order to gain good control. But we have tested in a separate scenario. It's not the actual model helicopter, but it's a virtual helicopter. And that is a work we did before this study in my laboratory. But in that virtual helicopter study, actually, we do ask a subject to walk around, to speak in the cell phone while still controlled the virtual helicopter, and the subject were able to do that. So you're asking a very good question. We have not tested in this model helicopter case that if anything else, people can multitasking, you know, do two things at the same time. We just have not got to that yet, but I think it is not impossible, and we're still working towards the ultimate goal. So hopefully we'll do step by step better than what we can do now.
We're speaking with Dr. He, and Dr. He is a biomedical engineering professor at the University of Minnesota's College of Science and Engineering. He's the lead author of a study that has just been published about people using their thoughts to move objects, essentially moving this little helicopter in and out of a series of problem areas. And you know, I think of telepathy when I think of that. And of course we've known that for about that psychics using that to move objects, but you're actually doing it in a practical way. When I think about that, it seems like the biggest problem would be identifying those brainwaves and cueing the computer and the electrodes in to pick those particular ones up.
Yes, and one of the challenges is really how to decode the signal, because the signal is extremely weak. It's a million times smaller than a volt. So it's a microvolt level signals, and considering we have a billion neurons inside our brain, and how to just pick up the signal associated with our intention or thought, which is generated by part of the brain, that is a technical challenge.
Who can this process help of those people out there? You know, I think of people with ALS or Parkinson's, et cetera. Is that kind of the focus initially of where this kind of research could lead?
Yeah, I mean, the immediate application, clinic application, would be the, you know, patient who are paralyzed, or even like an ALS patient, or patient who cannot move, have spinal cord injury. And then that would be the immediate application. You can pick up the brain wave, because as far as the patient, the brain is intact, and then help the patient accomplish some of their these tasks.
Yeah, and in the future, I'm assuming that you've had a lot of imagination doing this for the last 10 years about where this might lead beyond that initial point of helping folks.
Yeah, and in the future, one of their potential immediate application would be to help, you know, the patient who has a prosthetic limb, and hopefully this is, the thought-driven, and could make it a natural hybrid system of their, so the subject can really control it as freely as possible, and certainly can help the patient to move around the wheelchair reliably, or even, you know, turn on the TV switching channel, or do many other things if they get movement disability.
Wouldn't that be an amazing thing, and such a, as you think about somebody who's limited, by paralysis, it would be just a life-changing experience to be able to do this again.
Yeah, we're happy that we're making progress. I believe that lots of people in the field are working hard and for this ultimate goal to come.
Where do you go next as far as your research goes? What will be the next step beyond the helicopter?
The next step, I think really I would like to look into this robotic arm control. We already started in our lab and using non-invasive brainwave to control a robotic arm, which is not prosthetic arm yet, but we want to see if we could move in what we can do to help patients who are, is going to have a prosthetic limb and down the road. That's the current research direction that my group is heading for.
Do you have a website or a blog or somewhere that people could go to learn more about your research, or a place where they can pick up that YouTube video?
Yes, and you can see that from the YouTube. And I have a homepage, but do not maintain a blog.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and is there a place where they can find the YouTube? How would they go about that?
I think it is, if you go to Google, you search University of Minnesota, Binhe, or okay. Their brain-computer interface, it should come out.
So just searching your name should bring that information out there, and that's Dr. Binhe. We've been speaking with Dr. Binhe, and he is the lead author of a new study that shows that people can use their thoughts to move objects, and an amazing YouTube video, which you can pick up through Googling his name. Dr. He, I want to thank you so much for coming on our program tonight. It's been a pleasure to have you there, and also it's just great to see the types of things you and your fellow researchers are able to do.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.